You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Truth Nation, hour number two of Truth Be Told with Telly with guest co-host Tony Smith. We've been discussing this Tesla explosion and the mental health behind these terrorists that decide to do these acts. And we have found out that both are decorated Army veterans. The one in Las Vegas was a Green Beret, and both with military training. And we have Marlon on the line, and Marlon is a Marine and was just telling us about some of the mental health challenges. But also, Marlon, you brought up an interesting story about how other people or servicemen were trying to basically sabotage the black soldiers. And here's the deal with that. That is something that no one wants to talk about or no one wants to address. Like, no one wants to talk about the bad cops that have groups within police departments that want to do their own thing. You have military people, service people that are trying to do different things within the structure of the military. And so, Marlon, like you said, is it extremely tough to dive into the mental health aspect of someone like that because of how they're trained, and that they may be trained to not show you any weakness, correct?
Yeah, it is correct. But at the same time, veterans, we have a different kind of bond with each other. So actually, it's kind of funny that you're asking me this. I'm starting a group with veterans to bring us together so we could just talk and be together. Because of that exact fact, you know, whether it's homelessness, whether it's mental health, we have these veterans who are out there, and when they come back, they feel so isolated, or even sometimes about to get out, they feel isolated because civilians don't think the same way as veterans do. Yeah. But for me, it's pretty hard. Even now, I'm a Marine, so the guy who killed the guy in New York, on a subway, who choked him out.
Yes,
that was a difficult thing because he was a Marine, and you know, I was torn by it, and a lot of my Marine Corps friends were torn about it too. Now, when we were in, what would happen is somebody would do something wrong, and the commanding officer or the sergeant major would come and try to figure everything out, and you kind of keep your lips silent because you don't want nobody getting in trouble. But once they went away, we dealt that individually, and that person knew where everybody stood after that. You know what I mean? They didn't do it again. But, yeah, veterans have a different thought process. We have a different outlook on life. So even now I'm a probation agent, and my caseload is veterans. And when they come into my office, they see I'm a veteran. Right away there's an instant connection, and they're able to build that bond. But a lot of times they tell me they feel isolated or alone because they don't have other veterans or other people who they talk to, because people just come up to them, say, pat them on the back and say, thank you for your service, but they don't get to know them as an individual or what they've done and stuff like that.
Yes, yes. Well, Marlon, we appreciate you hitting us up and giving us a little insight and really educating us, because like you said, we don't know what we don't know. And you said that veterans feel more connected with other veterans, and you have that instant, you know, bond and that instant connection. Yeah. And if you don't ever feel like you're understood, it's really hard to get things solved when you don't think people know what you are going through. So appreciate your service and continuing to give back to your fellow veterans and helping them out. Thank you. I feel like there are so many things that this country we could do to help veterans who served to protect our country and then come back and treat it like they didn't do anything. So again, Marlon, we appreciate it.
Yeah, let's get all this all this money they're wasting on campaigns. Elon, get that $277 million to the veterans of this country.
And I was talking about it the other day, Tony, when the 39th president, Jimmy Carter, passed away at the age of 100, and all of his contributions to the Habitat for Humanity, and him even, I want to say, back in 1989, coming to Milwaukee and building six homes on Walnut Street and in 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see stuff like that, it's like, why can't we do more of that? Why are we talking about the last time that happening being in 1989?
They can do it. They just don't. They don't want to.
We have so much more money than we had as a country.
Some people have.
Since so no, I'm just saying, since 1989, that could help fund these things. Now, you want to spend billions on the space program to figure out what's going on up there. While you have people on Earth.
Yeah, a lot of problems here.
Yeah, you have people on Earth that don't even have a roof over their head every day.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of money going crazy. Out in a lot of weird places that you could just take a little bit from each, and you could probably do
a lot with the homeless
and the veterans. Like you said, there's no reason for people who put their life on the line. Like he's talking about, like, you can't understand that,
right?
You know, putting your life, a lot of people who didn't serve, you can't understand that. Like, and that's why they're close. Like, listen, my life depends on you doing what you're supposed to be doing, and vice versa. Like,
right.
That's why there's a bond.
That's like, a deeper understanding.
That's,
yes.
That's
it's
a deeper
bond. Right.
So it's a different thing. It's like, you know, when I see another former NBA player, like it ain't like life or death a bond, but it is a bond. Like,
yeah.
Okay, we know
the
deal. We understand. We know we had to do. We know what it took. We understand the life that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an understanding with vets. So I mean, it's sad that this guy felt isolated and then was searching for comfort and found it in some radical group.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That is really the problem, is having more programs where veterans can come home and look forward to doing something else, making the transition into civilian life. And
get treated with respect and appreciation.
It is so jacked up because, like Marlon said, and I'm so glad Marlon called, because that's what we do as a country. Memorial Day and Veterans Day, that's when we want to clap and pat them on the back. Thank you for your service. But you don't know what this person has seen. You don't know the type of PTSD.
We have 363 other days.
Yes. And you really don't, and you can't understand just as much as I can only imagine how it feels to play in an NBA game. I've never played an NBA game, so I can only imagine what it's like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and vice versa. You could only imagine how it is to interview President Clinton or interview, you know, big people or have a big show, and you're the lead guy. And it's like, well, I've been a part of the show, but I've never been the lead, so I kind of know how it feels, but I really don't know exactly how it feels. And I'm sure that's what a lot of veterans come back and feel. It's like, yeah, it's all cute and for the pageantry and say, yeah, you appreciate our service, but do you really know what I went through? Do you really know on a day-to-day basis, or seeing somebody that I went to boot camp with take his own life because he was stressed out, and seeing, you know, death right in front of you on a daily basis, if you were deployed to one of the wars. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we can't comprehend at all.
No, because I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't know how I come back from that. That's why I always say, I would never want to be a police and have to shoot somebody. Like, I don't think I ever could recover from having to take somebody's life. It would be like, I don't know. So, yeah, there's got to be a lot of more support. Like, you hear about homeless veterans, like, that should even be a thing.
Like,
should not be a thing.
And I gotta believe, Tony, and I have not been to every country in this world, but I gotta believe that we're one of the few countries that do our veterans like that. I gotta believe that because
we're all about money and capitalism and making money and profit. That's what the U.S. is about, really. And whatever it takes to get it done.
Yeah,
that's what it's about here.
833-212-1017. You can stream and watch us live on YouTube and at 1017thetruth.com.
See the outrage on my face.
Yes, yes, because another point that I definitely want to get into, especially more after the break, is the mental health side of this. Again, earlier I posed the question, is this just a beginning? And of course, we don't know that answer right now. Time will only tell if this is just only the beginning. And we haven't even had the inauguration yet. The inauguration is still in 17 days.
Yeah.
And then you have a bunch of J6ers, they're calling them now, that will probably be getting out of jail. So do you think they're going to get out of jail and come back into society and just be like, oh, kumbaya, and we're all one? And or are they going to come back probably more radicalized than they were before January 6th?
Just something to chew on for the break for the listeners. I'm looking at this Statista graph here of number of terrorist attacks annually in the U.S. Now, it goes from 95 to 2020 only, but, you know, it in 95 there were 60 terrorist attacks. And then it starts to go down, and it gets down to 9 for the year in 2004. It's down to 9, right? And then it kind of hangs around there, like 20 is the high for the next 10 years. So from 9/11, there were 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts to creep up from there. And then it goes dramatic. From like 2013, it's at 20. And then it shoots up to 68 in 2017.
Yeah. So, Tony, when we take a break, I want you to, when we come back, to let Truth Nation know what is categorized as a terroristic attack. Because just like mass shooting, like it sounds way more, but it only takes, like, if more than three people are shot or three people
for a mass shooting.
Yeah, that's a mass shooting. Yeah, so we'll get into what actually defines a terroristic attack. And Truth Nation, we want to know what your thoughts are, because we don't want to get into a phase or an era where this is just a headline or the topic for this week and then next week something else. I mean, this is something serious, and this is something that if these two individuals would do it, who's to say how many more are out there building up the courage to try and do something like this in the future? Again, hit us up, 833-212-1017. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, we have teamed up with Associated Bank for our Black-owned business give back. Each quarter, we will be giving away $6,000 worth of free commercial advertising for 3 months to 5 Black businesses. Visit blackbusinessgiveback.com. That is blackbusinessgiveback.com to sign up today. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure on the truth. For official rules, head to blackbusinessgiveback.com, Associated Bank member FDIC. You can also head to YouTube right now, and you can catch Tony and myself live. Tony chilling. You can check him out.
I'm watching TV over here.
Yeah, the expressionless
highlights.
Tony.
No, I got outrage on my face right now.
Yeah, yeah. So we were talking about Tony had a commercial break assignment, and and that assignment was to define a terrorist attack and what makes it a terrorist attack, Tony.
Yeah, it's just pretty simple. They said terrorism in the United States is seen as an act of violence with the motive to create ideological change. So you basically don't like something that's going on, and you do something violent and thinking that you're going to change it.
That is, to me, Tony,
What happened to peaceful protests?
Yes, it's been around. It's been around forever. But when you have hot button issues, that brings out a lot of emotion in people, because I have come across, and it's just too long of videos to play on this show, but I've come across this black woman that has broken down her medical bills.
Okay.
And at the end, she basically says, y'all need to free that boy, Luigi Mangione. He didn't do anything wrong when he killed that CEO. Exactly. Because when
she
started
that in the same sentence, he didn't do anything wrong when he killed somebody.
Right. But here's the thing. When you are going through it like that, like, you don't know what type of mind state that you're going to be in if you go to the doctor and they say, all right, Tony, you need this surgery. And then you go, and it's the day of this surgery. Mm. The surgery is January 7th. And on January 6th, you get a call that says, your claim has been denied. You can't go have surgery. You're not just going to be like, all right, cool. I guess I'll just wait. Like, you're going to be pretty upset.
Well, hey, you got to have surgery. You got to have surgery. You're going to have to figure it out later. But, yeah, you know, insurance companies, you know, they don't want to pay out. They don't want to accept claims. They deny a lot of stuff. You know, and I heard a lot of times with insurance, you just got to resubmit it a few times. And, you know.
Why should you have to do that? And you
I mean,
are
just
paying.
They want to deny. They want to deny claims. That's what they do.
Like, see, and that's not right.
But I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying that's what I'm talking about, though. This country is about profit.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay out. It hurts their bottom line. So they're trying to, they're hoping that you won't resubmit it.
Yeah. So let's just let this person die out or bleed out or not get the treatment that they need because I want to make sure that I reach my profit.
Well, here's the thing, though.
For the year.
Unfortunately, which doesn't make any sense, they're denying claims. They're looking at a piece of paper. Okay, this. I'm not looking at a person. They're not seeing their grandfather or their aunt or uncle or their child. They're looking at a piece of paper that says so and so wants this. And I'm looking for a certain something that's on that paper that I can say deny.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking at. They're not looking at people.
But even with your insurance, the NBA, you still gotta go through a lot to get stuff, don't you? Like, I mean, you got to prove
I'm going to go to the doctor or the hospital. I submit my insurance, you know, that does whatever it does. I'm not going to get denied. And if I do get denied anyway, I got supplemental insurance. So mine's different. NBA took great care of us. The new generation, because they're making so much money now, they decided to take care of the old generation. Mm-hmm. And so we get free healthcare. So you got to take me out of the equation.
Why is Glenn Big Baby in jail then? But anyway, we have Al on the phone.
They tried to scam the system. That's why.
Al, you on Truth Be Told with Telly and Tony. Good morning. What's your question or comment?
My comment is, and I'm going to keep it 100, every issue we got in the United States come from ignorant white people, which is white supremacy. So we need to go on and put it on the table. I don't know why for some of our black generation, they don't want us. They want to sugarcoat it like Al from Sherman Park. Or we have Miss Pat who want to talk about how Megan Stallion was shaking dookie dust, but didn't say nothing about when they was at Mar-a-Lago doing that booger sugar and all that stuff. Everything, every issue that we have had in the United States came from ignorant white people. It's not the blacks. It's not the less desirables. Even the Jews is cutting up, and you know they're nothing but white Europeans. So I wanted to start the Friday off, and let's put it out there. We should be worried about January 6th, but the problem is we don't ask for what we want to. We want to, you know, ask for them to be the bigger person. We don't want to ask for them to be the bigger person. We want to ask for true equality, and we're not doing that. And before I go, ain't no Yeshua, ain't no God coming down here to fix it. And since people want to ask that, maybe they can ask God and Yeshua to pick up them Ice House cans and them Corbell bottles that you're dropping all through the neighborhood. You have a good one. And have a great weekend.
You bye-bye. Too, Al. Thank you so much. We appreciate the call, as always.
Lord,
Al,
Lord,
back
please
in
clean
effect.
Up the neighborhood. Pick up this garbage.
Al is back in effect, 2025. Y'all let him back out. Y'all let him back in, Ricky?
He's keeping it real in 2025.
No, that's what's up. I mean, and here's the deal. We all have our theories and reasons as to why we are in the predicament that we are in. But here's the thing. Just because things have been a certain way doesn't mean they have to continue to be that way. And I think that besides trying to be like, all right, let's get to the problem. Like, all right, if we already identified the problem, then what are some of the solutions? What can we do to help in some of these things before they happen? Because I think we have definitely become a nation of reacting besides being proactive. And then we'll talk about what needs to change for a little bit. And then, like you said earlier, Tony, it dies down.
Yeah, the problem is, again, he said it's evil white people. The root cause is money. That's the root cause.
/ social media, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's all about money. Money is above everything, and that's what, as I would say, the evil white people, they're trying to protect their money because they have the long money. You know the song, like, we got a whole bunch of new money. We ain't got no old money.
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole bunch of new money. They got all the old money.
Yeah.
That's a fact. They own all the companies, all the big corporations, all the industries. So they're trying to protect money, and it's about bottom line. And unfortunately, they don't see that there's so much money. There's enough to go around.
Yes.
But when you're somebody who has money and has always had it, you're not as, you know, as willing to share, because you're seeing, oh, if I give this much, even though, you know, I got $1 trillion, but if I give you $100 billion, that's $100 billion I don't have.
Yeah.
I still got 900 trillion. I mean, 900 billion,
but I don't
took
have
away
that.
Right. I don't have that. So that's unfortunately how they see it. Like, I'm not giving you a piece of this pie, even though I got way too much. I got way too much. I still don't want to give it up to you who have nothing. So again, you can go look it up. Separation of wealth in the country is getting, the gap is getting wider. The rich are getting richer, and more people are falling into the not so rich pool. And that's the way, unfortunately, that government was designed.
Yeah.
And so people always say government's broken. Nah, it ain't. It's broken just like they want it to work, because the people with all the money and influence are the ones who made up the system in the first place. So they weren't going to design a system where they gave away all their stuff.
Yeah.
They weren't going to put that up. You and I, you ain't going to do that either. I mean, like I say, at some level, like, you really can't be mad at them. Now, one thing I will say is that, like, if we were going to design something and we had all the money, Telly, like, we're not going to put a system together where we lose all our money. I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
No, I mean, it doesn't.
Self-preservation is the first thing, right? Mm-hmm. We want to do that. But when it starts getting out of control and there's unintended consequences from that, that's when you got to start, okay, we got to readjust something. And that just is what's not happening.
Yeah, yeah. Because honestly, Tony, I hear or may read about different people that are like billionaires and who's the richest guy in the world and this, that, and the other. I really don't care, because in my opinion, you can't take it all with you. What are you doing with that? I don't care that Elon Musk is worth however many billion. So what? I mean, because again, what are you doing with that money? And there's so much that could be done. But I want to stop short of saying what somebody else should or supposed to be doing, because I never get into that, because I don't agree with anybody telling me what I should or supposed to be doing with my money. And so I'm not going to say what he should or supposed to be doing, because I'm not sure what he's supposed to be doing. But what you would like to see is some of that being shared and not just one person having all the money. And you got so many thousands, if not close to a million people that are homeless or experience homelessness or or veterans that come home and don't have jobs and don't have things. Like, why not set up programs? If you want to do good with all of this money that you earn from our government because you weren't born here and you didn't get all that money from South Africa. So you got all of this money from the U.S. government, and now you don't want to implement any programs or any ways to give back. And that's the most interesting thing, I think, too. And, Tony, I know you can relate, being an ex-NBA player. There's so much responsibility that are put on, you know, black athletes to give back and start a program and do camps and Boys and Girls Club and this, that, and the other. How often do you hear about white athletes giving back or starting different things or this, that, and the other?
I think in general, athletes do a good job of that for the most part. Even the white athletes, I would say they do a good job of giving back. But you know what what people have to look at though. First of all, you got to stop looking at the middleman, right? The athlete's the middleman. Right.
Oh yeah.
So you got to stop looking at the middleman. Just like people in this country, they don't look at the one percenters. They look at other people. Like it's those people. So the owners. So if you look at, you want to say who's making a lot of money. You want to say, oh, Steph Curry's making a ton of money. Giannis is making a ton of money.
No, it's the people that's signing them checks.
Right. It's the owner who's paying not only Steph Curry, he's also paying Draymond Green.
Yes.
He's also paying Jonathan Kuminga. He's also paying everybody who works there.
Yes.
That's the guy who makes all the money. And he's paying these crazy contracts to 15 players, and then the players on the G League team.
Mm-hmm.
People work in the office.
Oh, people don't think about
paying,
all that.
He's paying all of these people all that money.
Yeah.
And you don't think for one second, do you, that he's paying him all their money that he makes? No, he's paying a portion. He's mm-hmm. still making a lot of money himself.
Yes.
After he pays all them people all that money. That's where you should be looking.
Yes.
When you talk about people who are making money.
Yes.
It's those
yes.
people.
And there's a big difference between being rich and being wealthy.
Yeah,
and these players that are running up and down these courts and football fields and baseball diamonds, they're rich. No doubt. They are well off. But it's the owners that are wealthy, because if you sign a $300 million contract, do you think I only got $400 million left and I'm giving you $300 of it? No. That means I probably got, if I'm giving you $300 million, I probably got $900
million. You probably got more than that. Yeah. You still got to pay the rest of the team.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'm not going to go broke paying out my employees. I'm actually going to make more money.
Well, hold on. So here's the other part of that. Most all, I'm thinking there might be only one team where the owner, that's literally their family business.
Yeah.
They had to buy this thing. They had to buy the franchise.
Yeah.
They had other business before that made them enough money to go and buy a professional team.
Exactly.
This is their secondary.
Yes.
This is their toy.
This is their toy.
Not even their real money they're making.
Right.
So,
I mean, because even if you look at the two newest Bucks owners in Junior Bridgman and Jim Haslam. Jim Haslam owns the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
But that's not how he made all of his money.
No.
He made all of his money from those Love truck stops.
Right.
That are still very prevalent down south. Sam hit us up on our YouTube message board and says, money is over everything. Exactly, Tony Smith. June also says, Tony is right. It is class warfare. The quicker we all understand this and fight against it, the better we will be. And we want you to keep it locked, because we will be better if you join us on the other side of the break. We're going to step aside for a break. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with Telly will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Boy, Tony, I tell you, this conversation definitely leads to other different things when you talk about mental health and why people do the things that they do. And a lot of
money,
it
money.
It has a lot to do with money stresses, money issues, and some people just don't know, you know, how to take that out or to even talk about it. And because it's so interesting to me that the only video they found of the New Orleans attacker was a 2013 video that spoke about his financial struggles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. So there's a, and then he was kind of marketing himself as a something. I'm not sure what business he had going on. But my point is, classism plays a big part in a lot of different things. And we said it during the break, Tony. It's only the, I think the margin is only going to widen once January 20th rolls around.
Yeah, I mean, personally, like, you know, I'm sure everybody's got their own opinions on Trump. I know I was not big on politics for a long time, but then it just became shoved in your face, right? Even whether, especially on social media. I remember social media back when none of this stuff was on there. This was not what social media was about. Social media was about, like, just connecting with people, really.
Yeah.
Like old friends or, like, classmates. I remember when I was going back to school at Marquette, and I saw these kids on the Facebook page on the computer. It would look like I'm Google, like I'm looking up something. That's how early it was. And they're like, oh yeah, this is how students talk to each other. Like you can catch all the students on the campus on this Facebook thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was about. And look what it's turned into.
Like, oh gosh, you know,
people are gonna abuse anything they can abuse, and to try to, you know, get whatever narrative they want out there. And now social media has turned into a big propaganda machine where people have a lot of reach, a lot more reach than they typically would. That's what makes it dangerous. Like if you were just Joe Schmo and you had some idea or you had some conspiracy, I mean, how many ears are you really going to be able to reach?
Yeah.
You know? But now with social media, you can reach so many ears. And that's when it becomes dangerous.
I always thought that was dangerous, Tony, because you give anybody the license to go live. And that's a very powerful tool because once you go live, you can't take it back. Regardless of what happens.
The live thing. But the crazy part, like Facebook was just for students before. Like you had to have a student email to get on Facebook before.
Yeah.
But like you say, now it's different. It's just wide open. Like anybody with any kind of email can get on there. That's the danger. Like I was looking at something the other day on, I think it was a movie or a documentary or something, but just the internet in general is dangerous. I mean, the internet has become dangerous. Like you talk about kids on the internet. You know, I was playing a video game and, you know, you got kids on there that are playing. They don't know who I am.
Yeah.
They're on there talking to me. They're on, you know, it's weird. I'm like,
you don't know what type of record I have.
Right. You know nothing about me. You're,
that is so bad.
It's so dangerous that, I mean, I don't have kids and I don't know how people with kids, how you manage access to the internet or. I hope you're managing it in some way.
Yeah.
You gotta be doing, it's too dangerous of a place to allow kids to.
Just
freely roam around and just be on the internet and especially interacting with other people.
Yeah, grown people.
Grown-ups. Oh, 100%. Grown-ups. And these are people are seasoned predators. Like, you think like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, my kid ain't going to fall for that. Or no, these people, they know who to pick on.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, you know, when you talk about you know, other areas like domestic violence. Like these people who do that stuff, they know how to pick out their victims.
Yeah.
They know who's prone to be okay with that kind of stuff.
For sure. For sure.
So these predators who are picking up kids, they know, they can tell within the first couple of responses if this kid's going to be open, you know, to what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, Tony, you just reminded me, and this was my truth of the matter yesterday, that I played a clip from Prince in 1999. And Ricky, go ahead and play it again, because what you were just talking about with students when they first got on Facebook and mm-hmm. and like where we are now and the type of control that social media has in our society, none other than Prince Rogers Nelson forecasted this almost 26 years ago.
Don't be fooled by the internet. It's cool. It's cool to get on the computer, but don't let the computer get on you. It's cool. It's cool to use the computer. Don't let the computer use you. You all saw the Matrix. There's a war going on, the battlefield's in the mind. And the prize is the soul. So, just be careful. Very careful. Thank you.
1999, Tony.
1999. I'm not a big fan of Prince's, but yes, he is correct.
He was dead on, and that's exactly what has transpired since then. The computer has been on us. We haven't been on the computer.
Yeah, unfortunately, the computer is just it's a microcosm of the world. Like, they're just evil minds out there who, you hear it a lot of time, you see an elaborate scheme perpetrated. These hackers, these scammers. Like, you guys dedicated a lot of intelligence and smarts to these evil projects.
Right.
Why don't you use that energy for do something good and positive?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a hacker and you go in and stealing money from companies and accounts, why can't you go work for those companies?
Yeah. And let them know.
And be in security.
Yeah.
Like, why
and
are
say,
you,
hey,
why
I
you,
know how to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, why are you choosing to steal?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. You're just choosing the wrong path to use apparently some kind of talent you have, some ability. You're just using it for the wrong way, but that's what people are going to do because it's the short way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get over. Why would I go 9 to 5 working? I can do this at home in an hour. I can take, you know, 50 grand from this person or this company in an hour. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go to work.
Yeah. I saw, I read a story about a guy that was scamming DoorDash for over, I think it was about a little over a year, and had $1.3 million.
Mm.
And they were explaining how he was doing it. Like, he would order something from DoorDash, and then he'll say, oh, the company, they canceled the order, but I still got your information. Somehow he had it where he would get their information, and as opposed to DoorDash being charged, he was taking the money out of their account.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that to over 700 DoorDash drivers, like just hacking into their accounts.
Yeah.
And so, like you just said, man, if I could sit and think about
and
how
to do
this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying you got to go to DoorDash, but you could go to any of these companies and say, look, I'm a hacker. I know what these
right,
hackers
clearly
do.
Clearly you have some skill.
Yeah, let me be your security and make sure you don't get hacked the way that I know you can get hacked.
Yeah, something. I mean, like I say, I don't get it. But like I say, that's why we have a lot of laws in this country, because somebody's going to abuse the system. Now I got to make a law that restricts everybody. Mm-hmm. Because of a few knuckleheads decided they wanted to do this, so now we got to make up a law.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got a law. Now my life is impacted. My movement is restricted because you wanted to do something.
Yeah.
Right. So
I mean, just look at the laws and all the restrictions in this country. That's because people are taking advantage.
Yeah. So we are more concerned about taking the TikTok decision to Supreme Court, but there's no urgency to get some type of gun control or try to not eliminate, but at least decrease.
NRA gives too much money to political parties.
And what has this all been centered around?
We're not going to regulate ourselves.
Money.
Yeah. We're not going to over-regulate you because you give us too much money.
And you just understand the more you get information on how these companies work together but try to make it seem like they're not. I read a report how Coca-Cola has been giving the American Diabetes Association or Society so much money every year to not expose all the sugar and how bad these sodas are and how it could lead to diabetes. And we're probably leading.
Just don't put on your website that Coke is bad.
Yes, yes. And you know, and here's some money. And so who's to blame here? I don't think you blame Coca-Cola because they're trying to cover up their indiscretions. But do you blame these companies like the Diabetes Society or Association for taking this money? Or do we really care about Americans' health? Do we care? Because we know there are a lot of foods that have been approved by the USDA that you can't get anywhere else in the world. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and some of those, like, you still have some of the same stuff. A lot of times they're called different names. I was reading an article on that specifically, and a lot of times it's not exactly what it is at face. Like you just said, like, oh, yeah, this dye, right, this red dye is illegal here. But, like, you know, they got a different red dye over there. It's just not this one, but they got a red dye. It's not like they don't have red Skittles in Europe. They have red Skittles over there. They use a different dye.
It's just a different dye.
But it's right. Still a dye.
Yeah.
And I don't think any dyes are that good.
Yeah. No, not at all. I look at it and, yeah, it is so jacked up the way that we do things and it's all for profit. Because if you want to know the answers to some of these questions, as I've always been told, follow the money. Follow the money and you will get your answers. And we're going to step aside for our final break. But when we return, we will have our truth of the matter. Keep it locked right here on Truth Be Told with Telly.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
All right, Truth Nation, we've come to the end of the show. And as always, we'll give our truth of the matter, which will be our takeaways from the topics that we have discussed throughout the show. We're going to start with our guest co-host, Tony Smith. Tony, what is your truth of the matter?
Yeah, just my takeaway from today. Mental health is real. You got to be paying attention to people around you because they might need some help. And it's unfortunate and sad that you have veterans out here who feel alone, right? And they got nowhere to turn. So what do? They turn to the internet. And that's the other thing. The internet, there's a lot of dangerous people lurking around on the internet, just looking for people to victimize, to radicalize, and to turn into their soldiers to do things destructive. So look out for your kids, especially. They're particularly at risk being out on the internet on their own, and all the people around you. Just keep an eye out and watch. And if they're having some kind of issue, just make sure you try to help them out somehow.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Thanks so much, Tony, for that truth of the matter. My truth of the matter, I'm really going to piggyback off of Tony and what we've been talking about today. And that is, pay close attention to the people that are close to you, because you can't tell me the school shooter in Madison, the terrorist attacker in New Orleans, as well as Las Vegas, that no one knew anything about it. These people just didn't wake up and drive hours away to commit these heinous acts. There have been red flags. There's been things that have been said, and people should pay more attention to that. And a lot of times we get caught up in our own stuff and not worried about anybody else, where you really should be very cognizant of the people that are closest to you. Because, again, we all may be going through things and we all process and deal with things differently. So just be very cognizant of the people that are close to you, and just check in on them. Ain't nothing wrong with doing a little check in, little wellness check in. Hey, you good? Doing? All right, man. Hey, you got something to talk about? Let's talk about it. Not let it fester in and then manifest to something that is as evil as the two things we saw in Vegas as well as New Orleans. And with that being said, that is my truth of the matter, and that'll do it for this edition of Truth Be Told with Telly. Thanks, as always, to my guest co-host, Tony Smith, for holding it down. Thank you, Truth Nation. Up next, 9 more hours of live consecutive Black Talk Radio. We got the truth with Sherwin Hughes. Keep it locked right here. Peace out.